Hello, tech fans, and welcome in to the latest Tech Sideline podcast, originating from TSL's high-tech studios in the Virginia Tech Corporate Research Center. Whether you're watching or listening, live or archived, we are so glad you could join us today as we record on Wednesday, October 2nd, and preview Virginia Tech in Miami. That'll kick off at 3:30 on Saturday in South Florida. Our crew today, we've got Malcolm Stewart behind the scenes producing on the podcast set, our managing editor, Chris Coleman, our founder and head honcho, Will Stewart, and I'm your podcast host, Evan Hughes. Again, so glad everybody could be with us today on the Tech Sideline podcast. A reminder that this week and every week, the TSL podcast is presented by the Fisher Law Firm, Virginia's trusted DUI and traffic defense firm dedicated to defending individuals charged with traffic-related offenses. From their offices in Blacksburg and Roanoke, the Fisher Law Firm handles cases throughout the Commonwealth of Virginia. To date, the firm has defended more than 30,000 people charged with moving violations. For free consultation, call anytime, day or evening, toll-free at 1-800-680-7031. Again, that's 1-800-680-7031. Or you can email them at info@fisherlegal.com. Gentlemen, good morning. Great to be back with you guys as always. How's everything going?
I'm exhausted. Just a so this kind of is the first topic of discussion. Well, first of all, we have a gnome over there now. If you're watching the video, if you're listening on the podcast, you can't see the gnome clearly. But we were doing some work on cleaning out my parents' house this weekend, and the gnome surfaced. I feel a little bit like I'm watching a Travelocity commercial, but so we got him over there on the table between Evan and Chris, and I think it would be funnier. He's kind of going like this with his eyes closed. I think it'd be funnier if he had his eyes open, because I'd point him at one of you guys. You know, like you know, like you get stared at by your dog or your cat when it's time to be fed. And he is a gnome, but I feel like calling him a troll, because troll has been, my goodness, one of the words of the week, I guess, with the way the football team's playing. There's trolls everywhere. Message boards, Facebook, Twitter. It's exhausting, just the amount of negative energy around the program right now.
Yeah, absolutely. CC, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Playoff baseball's upon us. I know you're excited about that.
Yeah, all my other teams have had a horrible sports week, though, so the Braves are going to get swept.
So the Braves are in it, though?
Oh, yeah, they won the division.
Did they win the division?
Like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I want to kind of go back to what Will's saying. That's kind of how we're going to start off the Tech Sideline podcast today. It's just kind of about a couple of words. Energy, the fan base, message boards. Will, it's definitely been a little more negative than it has been in previous weeks.
So people are always like, when something really good or something really bad happens, they always talk about how is it for business for Tech Sideline. And it's when things are going south, it's good for ad revenue, because people pile into the message boards to complain. So, you know, we get more page views than usual. We get more ad revenue. Like one of our highest ad revenue days of the 2018 season, excuse me, was the day Tech lost to Old Dominion. And then the follow-up Monday to that, those were definitely two of the biggest days in September of last year.
What were the page views the day Marcus Vick got kicked off the team? What astronomical?
Man, I don't even – so it's kind of an apples and oranges thing. But, you know, back before social media came along, back before there was Facebook and Twitter, our message boards would get a tremendous amount of traffic. And I remember – it was probably the Marcus Vick day. I probably went and counted this up. So back then, you know, we have multiple message boards. We have a football board and the lounge and a subscriber board and all that stuff. And back then I used to be able to fairly easily in a day see how many posts you were getting on any individual board. Okay. And the day that Marcus Vick got kicked off the team, we got almost 5,000 posts on the football board alone, and then there were another couple thousand on the subscriber board. Just enormous numbers of posts, the board scrolling so fast that I don't know what it was like. It was watching like 500 people in a chat room all chatting at once. It was just nuts. So anyway, it's bad times are good for ad revenue, but bad for subscriptions, and good times are good for subscriptions. And you know, anytime like a big victory happens, you get a pile into the boards and everybody's happy, but they don't hang around to talk about it as much as they do the negative stuff, you know. So, but ironically, I say that, but yet subscriptions, we had a good month in September, you know, even with everything going on. And I think part of that is, you know, we're getting out there so many different ways now. We've got the podcast that just, by the way, those of you that listen to the podcast, we really appreciate the support.
And watching, too.
Yeah, and watching. You know, our podcast, when we first started doing it, used to get about 1,700 downloads on SoundCloud. We are consistently close to 2,500 now. And and Monday's podcast, you looked at it, and what were the figures for it?
Over 3,800 people listened alone on SoundCloud, 4,000 people watched on Facebook,
right,
and then over 1,000 on YouTube.
See, more traffic after a horrible
loss. Yeah, everybody wants to you know, to come in and see what's being said. And that podcast was difficult to work our way through. You know, it's very hard to... it's not hard for fans to criticize the team. They just blast away. But it's hard for us to express what we feel is the truth and do it in a respectful and measured way. And one of the things that happens when we talk about what we feel is wrong with the program is that there are segments of the fan base that if we say something negative, they're like a dog with a bone. They grab it and run with it and just keep repeating it over and over and over. So there's this, not to turn this into a conversation about us, but there's this responsibility to be careful, because I know that everything we say gets blown out of proportion. Big long tangent I went on. Yeah. But anyway, we appreciate everybody's support.
And this is a small town. You know, like, we see these guys at Kroger and stuff.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I see Charlie Wiles in Kroger. So it's not like you don't want to go off the rails.
You have to be fair. You know, and so one of the pieces of content we're doing this year that I really like is Chris is doing an Inside the Numbers piece of content where, you know, we've talked about this. We have a subscription to Pro Football Focus. They do detailed stats for every player for every game. So it's a great tool because, number one, it gives you snap counts and grades for every player. And it allows you to really, you know, there are things that you think you're seeing with your eyes, but they add numbers and data to it. And we have opinions about players who should be playing less, players who should be playing more, players who are playing out of position, and the PFF data backs that up. So it's nice to express an opinion but be able to back it up with data that's respectful. You can't criticize that, right? You know, when it's just pure opinion, it gets kind of difficult. And that's part of why I'm exhausted, is when you have to think about everything you say and type, it gets tiring.
Absolutely. So. Well, speaking of the Pro Football Focus, we'll talk about that a little bit later in the podcast. Again, we're previewing Virginia Tech and Miami coming up this Saturday in South Florida. Let's begin the discussion by taking a look at Virginia Tech before we get to Miami. And one of the main discussions on social media and the fans have been talking about on the message boards is who's going to be playing quarterback for Virginia Tech this Saturday. Three of the four quarterbacks that are eligible played in Quincy Patterson, Hendon Hooker, and Ryan Willis against Duke on Friday. Chris, who will start on Saturday?
It sort of sounds like it's going to be Hooker. That's sort of the rumor around town. That's getting thrown around, you know, and around the fan base. It could be just that, a rumor. I'm inclined to think it's probably true. You know, Ryan Willis's strength is his ability to throw the ball downfield. He's got a good arm. That ability is limited when you have a sprained AC joint or whatever it is in your throwing shoulder. So that basically takes away his strength.
And again, the caveat that this has not been officially announced, because this kind of stuff is never officially announced, but that's what very good sources say.
Right. And, you know, it's honestly, Hendon Hooker's strength is running the football, and he apparently, we've heard, has a torn labrum in his non-throwing shoulder. Might even have to have surgery in the offseason if the tear is bad enough. So it's not like he's an ideal candidate, really. If they're going to ask him to run the ball a lot, that shoulder's just going to take a pounding. Yeah. And, you know, you can talk about Quincy Patterson, but if they thought Quincy Patterson was ready, honestly, they would have already played him by now.
They would do something other than play him for one play and have him run off tackle they've just done over and over.
Right. I mean, if I'm not saying Quincy would be the starter or anything, but if he was ready, he would at least be backing up over Hooker who has a torn labrum, right? So I think it's one of those two guys, Hooker or Willis. And it sounds like it's going to be Hooker, but honestly, that's not a solution. And I don't think there is an in-season solution to this. Like, whoever you throw out there is going to look bad through some situations now that aren't in their control. Now, you know, Willis, he just doesn't function well in this offense, even if he was healthy. And I don't know how advanced Hooker is in the passing game. I'm not going to judge him this week. I'm not going to judge him this season, I don't think, because of his health. I mean, you throw a guy out there with a torn labrum in his shoulder at quarterback. Maybe you don't run him quite as much as you would as you would if he was healthy. So that's taking away his strength. And, you know, he's surrounded by freshmen. So it's just not like a good year to evaluate your backup quarterback when you throw him in a game for all those reasons. But I don't think it matters who plays quarterback, to be bluntly honest with you.
Yeah, this is not shaping up well. You know, the last time Tech went down to Miami, 2017, you know, if you can do me a favor and pull up the 2017 schedule and results while I'm talking, because I wanted to research this before we started recording and didn't get a chance to. But a friend texted me and said, so one of the things Chris and I always talk about is, and this Chris came up with this idea, was that, you know, from 1999, from the time Tech played in the national championship, they were the kind of the darlings of ESPN. They got on TV a lot, had a lot of night games. Tech was, I looked it up the other day, from 99 through 2005, Tech at some point in the season was in the top five every year.
Every year.
Except 2004.
So, and they six were in the top 10 that year.
Right. At one point.
Finished in the top 10.
So, but that all ended when Miami rolled in here in the 2005 season and curb stomped Tech, and it was never quite the same after that.
And it was the biggest game in Lane Stadium history, I would say.
Yeah. And Tech pooped right there on Lane Stadium on Worsham Field.
Marcus Fick specifically.
So, but a friend of mine texted me and he said, you know, this program was doing great under Fuente until, so tell me that 2017 Miami game in Coral Gables, what was Tech's record and ranking?
So Virginia Tech was ranked 13th going into that game. It was the night game on ESPN or ABC, and then Miami was ranked 9th. Going into that game, Virginia Tech was 4, 5, 6. They were 7-1.
With the one loss to Clemson.
So in 2016 you go 10-4. Mm-hmm. In 2017 you start out 7-1. So that's 17-5 to that point for Justin Fuente. Mm-hmm.
And they finished 9-4 in 2017.
Right, but 17-5.
Right.
And they go down there and they lose. Now that game, I think the score ended up kind of lopsided. In
it
that
was 28-10. The defense played fine. The offense couldn't do much. The problem is they left Jackson in there too long and he got hurt.
Well, but before that, there was a critical moment in that game where Jackson hit Sean Savoy, I believe, with a pass down the middle at the goal line, and he was headed towards a touchdown and got hit and fumbled.
Right.
So Tech, I agree. My memory is that Tech got just smashed offensively, that they couldn't do much against Miami's defense. So the reason I'm telling this whole story and bringing this up is that what I remember about that game was that the new configuration of Hard Rock Stadium, I think that's what it's called, was new that year. Mm. And it was a very smart design from the standpoint that the Miami Dolphins and the Miami Hurricanes aren't drawn all that well, but the new design kind of, excuse me, trapped the sound really well. Now, Miami did have a good crowd that night. I think the place might have even been full. So it was just a very difficult environment for Virginia Tech, and they kind of melted down, didn't make plays, and just didn't do well that night. That was 2 years ago, and for example, you know, Chris has done the research and can back me up on this. Miami's starting three linebackers right now that are juniors or seniors?
All seniors. They've all started since they were true freshmen, although one of them doesn't start this year. They've gone with a different style defense. So one of their backup linebackers is a senior with 31 career starts.
Wow.
And one of their backup defensive ends is redshirt senior Trevon Hill with however many starts.
Right.
You know.
So this defensively, at least, is a more stout team than the one Tech played in 2017, and Tech was a better team in 2017. So I just, this does not look good. If you're an optimistic fan, you always want to believe that they're going to pull some sort of rabbit out of a hat. But I just don't think there are many options here, well, and the quarterbacks are too injured.
Well, something good has to happen early. They obviously sort of packed it in on Friday night when something bad happened early, the fumble. Something good has to happen to them early. Like Miami, that freshman quarterback needs to throw his first interception of the year, and Tech needs to score a touchdown off of it. Give them some confidence early in the game. And you know, if Tech does get down 7-3 or 10-3 or 10-0 or something like that, the defense can't check out. They have to keep playing because this Miami offense is bad.
Yeah.
It is not good. They cannot run the football. They've gotten sacked 18 times this year.
They have two freshman tackles, is that right?
They have a true freshman left tackle who was horrible. And they have a true
according to the PFF grades.
According to the PFF grades.
This kid grades out.
Well, and according to my own eyes against Florida, he just got annihilated. Yeah. But and then the right guard's also a true freshman. He's done okay. But overall, their offensive line is not good, and they're blocking for a redshirt freshman quarterback. Williams has done well. Jaren Williams has done well when he's had time. His numbers are pretty good, like 72% completion rate, 7 touchdowns, no interceptions. But they really struggled offensively against Central Michigan a couple of weeks ago in their last game. They only scored 17 points, had 305 yards, something like that.
Yep.
And so this is a game that Virginia Tech can be in this football game. The defense can't check out, though.
So you drew the parallel to, was it the 2006 game?
Yeah.
That was just hideous offensively for both teams.
Set football back to 1986.
But Tech just hung around and hung around and hung around, and then they got I don't remember the exact details. They may have gotten a turnover.
Flowers got an interception.
Yeah.
And I
remember after that was a game that Tech won with a late touchdown, like 17-10.
I think you're – oh, yeah, it was a Brandon Orr touchdown, right?
And I remember, you know, back before YouTube existed and all these tools existed – I remember watching that play that Tech won the ball game on, and it was a combination of Miami just being in the wrong defense and one Miami guy making a bad read and Virginia Tech blocking it perfectly and scoring the winning touchdown, 17-10. Mm-hmm. And that you brought up the point the other day when we were talking here in the office that's because even though the offense was in the tank, the defense hung around and hung around and hung around and kept them in the game.
Yeah.
And we'll talk a little bit more about Miami a little bit later in the podcast. They also have a solid running game with a guy by the name of DJ Dallas, who's gotten a lot of attention early. And, again, the Hurricanes are 2-2. They're coming off a bye. I want to keep the discussion going, though, about Virginia Tech. And we talked about the quarterbacks being banged up. We spent Monday kind of as an overview, and I think one of the things from a tough loss was the quarterbacks, you know, being banged up. And, again, that's not official, but that is the word on the street about the two. So now looking at the running game, McLeese has one of his best games of the year. He goes over the century mark.
How about that? Back-to-back
yards.
Games with a 100-yard rusher for Virginia Tech. Who would have thought?
King against Furman, and then McLeese against Duke. But the one guy I want to bring up is Caleb Stewart, because there was supposed to be about a 3-man rotation with Jalen Holston going down early in the year. So then it looked like it was King and McLeese. Stewart had 7 carries. Is that something that we can expect moving forward to see 3 guys touch the football?
Considering the size of Keshawn King and Deshaun McLeese, I do think they need to get Stewart a little bit of work just to save some wear and tear on those other two guys. So maybe, but he doesn't seem like a guy they trust right now. If they're only putting him in there in garbage time in a 35-point blowout, it just doesn't seem like a guy that they trust right now to me.
Yeah. So, yeah, the stats are there, but I don't think that really says anything about what they're going to do.
And listen, Keshawn King, that fumble, do you think it's going to be very much so a clean sheet moving forward here? And
if it's not and they don't want to play Stewart, then you're talking to Sean McLeese and his 180-pound or whatever frame getting 20 or 25 carries a game. That's not going to work. So there has to be a clean sheet.
No, 100%. Let's so quickly then from the running backs to the receivers – now that Damon Hazelton had a game back, of course, he did have that touchdown and quote-unquote when the game was out of reach.
Right.
But considering that he did play, would you say that Tech receivers are at full strength for the first time this season going into Miami?
I guess.
Except is there something going on with Trey Turner?
Right. Because there's – talk of him being out this game.
What did Jafar Williams say the other day in the press conference?
If we have him, we'll have him, or something like that.
Right. So I think I missed the question that prompted that response, but a reporter may have heard a rumor and asked about it.
Well, Turner, like Hazleton, has had a hamstring injury since the preseason.
Right.
The only difference is he's played and Hazleton hasn't. You saw Turner come up grabbing his hamstring against Boston College. So he hasn't been 100%. So it would not surprise me if he missed the game. It wouldn't surprise me if he played. I don't know. But it just doesn't sound particularly promising to me. And he's had a down year anyway, maybe because of that hamstring. Maybe he just hasn't had quite the explosiveness. I don't know. Or maybe the fact that he hasn't had Damon Hazleton on the other side of him for most of the year has limited his effectiveness.
Hard to say.
So it's, you know, Virginia Tech's two best outside receivers are Damon Hazleton and Trey Turner, and haven't had them together for a full game because neither guy played a full game against Duke. And so here we are going into the fifth game, and, you know, even if Ryan Willis was 100% healthy, he hasn't had his two best receivers on the field together all year.
Yeah, it's looking like Virginia Tech is bringing a knife to a gunfight.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Quickly, Damon Hazleton, the minutes that he did get on the field against Duke, what did you see from him? Did he look comfortable out there to you in his return to the?
He caught one pass for 72 yards. That's all I can tell you.
That game for me is just kind of a white wall of emotion and. And I talked about this on the message boards. I had a really busy weekend. I won't get into why. Had family in town, and we had things to do. And so I didn't get a chance to really sit down and rewatch the game till about 8 o'clock Sunday night. And I actually think I said this on the podcast the other day. I only watched the first quarter and a half. And then I saw something like, I don't need to watch this anymore. So I'll admit that's one game I really haven't had a chance to review. I'm not going to probably ever.
I'll put it this way: the highest grader on offense, according to PFF, was Caleb Stewart, and his grade was like a 67.8.
Really?
And that was on seven plays. And that was the highest grader on offense. So no, I think it's safe to assume that nobody on offense played well.
So there you go.
Well, then nobody was comfortable in anything.
Let's go ahead and transition to defense, because you were getting a lot of love on social media for something that you found because of Pro Football Focus. And
right.
I'll let you kind of take it from here about Alan Tisdale and the numbers that he's put together this year.
I think the numbers I ran in yesterday's article, Alan Tisdale, I think my qualifiers were
50
snaps or more. And I don't remember if it was Power 5 schools or all schools. But
it may have been FBS.
It might have been. I think it was FBS schools. So 130 schools, if you're a linebacker and you've played 50-plus defensive snaps this year. There are 254 linebackers who fit that criteria in the country. And Tisdale so far is the second highest grader amongst those 254. He's played in 57 plays, so it's one of the smaller sample size of that group. But he's played well when he's gotten the opportunity.
And in general, he's not been a garbage time player. He's been when correct. He has played. It's
right,
been
right. They played him a lot against Boston College, and he graded out well. Then they didn't play him really at all. They didn't play him at all against ODU. I think he got like one or two snaps against Furman. And then he split reps 50-50 with Dax the
exactly
other night.
Exactly 50-50. He and Dax had the same number of snaps.
And the grades aren't close.
Didn't Tisdale grade out at a 90?
90.1. Dax was a 55.0.
Right.
So this isn't a Dax bashing fest, by the way.
Right.
Because Dax is a great Hokie, works really hard. He's a team leader. The guy's playing out of position. He's playing backer. He's what probably Rayshard Ashby would look like if you moved him to backer. It's just not a natural fit.
And you have seen Rayshard Ashby in space a few times.
Right, and it doesn't look good.
He doesn't belong out there.
Both those guys should be inside the tackle box linebackers. Yeah. They both need to be playing Mike, right? Last year, I thought it was completely acceptable to play Dax at the backer spot because he probably was the best backer on the team. There was no true backer on the team last year. There is one true backer on the team right now, and it's Alan Tisdale, and he's playing like it. So, to me, that means if the only reason is you moved Dax to backer in the first place is because he was the best player there, he was your only guy who could fit there, then that doesn't hold water anymore because you have a player who can play there now. And Dax doesn't have to play out of position anymore. I would move Dax back to Mike and either get him some playing time behind Rayshard Ashby or just redshirt him. Redshirt, preferably. And of course,
no.
Always be redshirt. So those of you who play the drinking game, whenever Chris says redshirt,
I know it's only 10:03 in the morning, but go ahead.
There's nothing wrong with day drinking. It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Maybe I'm out on Wednesday.
So Tisdale stood out, and then before we kind of wrap up Virginia Tech, it's worth bringing up DeShawn Crawford. And I know the Numbers article, he'll be featured. A guy who's a JUCO guy on the defensive line. Yeah. How has he progressed, and how is he grading
He's
out?
Everything I thought he would be. Just a really good fit for our system. He plays really hard. When we talk about – and keep in mind, this is not just us saying this. Bud Foster said this after the game. Justin Fuentes said this after the game, and I think on his Monday press conference. They mentally checked. The defense mentally checked out. But both sides of the ball, but you could specifically see a drop-off in defensive play after Duke took the lead, and they didn't respond to adversity. Collectively, that's true. Now, there were some individual performances that were quite good. DeShawn Crawford played till the end of the game and stayed mentally engaged. Tywan Garbutt did, too. He played a good game in his first game back from injury after only playing 6 games against Boston College. So it was good to have those two guys back. I love Crawford. Nobody wanted him out of high school. He was a defensive player of the year in the state of Mississippi, but he was a 250-pound defensive tackle. This sounds like an old-school Virginia Tech recruit, right?
I know. It's kind of
Jack Tyler, except he's a defensive tackle instead of a linebacker. Wow. Just undersized, and nobody wanted him.
Sounds like Corey Moore, right, except he was a tiny defensive end.
Right, so he had to go JUCO. And 2 years at JUCO, he got up to around 270 pounds, was originally committed to Troy, still on the small side. But small defensive tackles, they can have success in Virginia Tech's system. So, and Tech needed a guy, so they took him. He's up to 290 now. It's worked out really, really well. I think he's a good player. We've had 11 DeShawn Crawfords. We need them both on both sides of the ball.
So we sit here and we talk about, and we spend a lot of time Monday talking about possible staff changes and things like that. This team is struggling right now, but I see some pieces that you can build on.
Absolutely. I think Garbutt's good. Obviously, Crawford are good. Tisdale, with the proper player development, I like Jamari Connor, Caleb Farley, Jermaine Waller. I like all those guys for the most part. Jalen Griffin. I think under the right tutelage next year, our defense has a chance to be really good.
David Blackwell.
David Blackwell, come on down. Yep.
Amari Barno just waiting to play that bandit position.
The bandit.
We have been critical of defensive recruiting over the last few years, and especially this year. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is there's a lot of tools there to work with.
Right. There are. So I feel pretty good about that. As far as Crawford goes, people have probably noticed that I've changed my tune about recruiting recently and how this takes a specific type of player. Highly talented players obviously can succeed at Virginia Tech. It's happened plenty of times before. But in general, our program is built on the DeShawn Crawford types. DeShawn Crawford came from junior college. Some of those junior colleges, they don't even have AC in the locker room.
Well, it gets back to what Buzz Williams said about JUCO guys.
Right.
And go ahead.
Yeah, exactly right. So where a regular recruit might come on a visit to Virginia Tech and think, oh, man, their football facilities aren't as good as NC State's or Clemson's, and they don't have a $250,000 or $250 million facility with an actual beach on Lake Michigan, like Northwestern of all teams has these days. Virginia Tech doesn't have any of that stuff.
Is it called Northwestern's football facility or something?
Yeah, new $250 million football facility.
Crazy.
It's insane. It's shouldn't even be legal, but whatever. But you get guys like Crawford. If you find guys like that, they don't care about stuff like that. And if there's been any kind of failing in the Fuente era, is it's a failure to identify players who maybe they've signed a few too many guys who maybe don't fit Virginia Tech's culture, who are looking for something else.
I would expand it to we're talking about football culture. Any team would love to have guys like that. Boise State continues to be a top 25 football program, right, just building their program around guys like that.
Well, yeah, Wisconsin, all the time recruits between the 35th and 45th ranked classes.
Yeah.
You know, if we signed the 45th ranked class, our fans would be ready to fire the coaches for bad recruiting, right? And I go back to player development. I go back to Danny Pierman. And all Danny Pierman did is develop players like Jeff King. And he was the tight ends and offensive tackles coach. So Dwayne Brown also. So it's really good football players. He got fired for not being able to recruit. Couldn't recruit, right?
Chris is doing air quotes.
Right. I'm doing air quotes for people listening.
For people just listening.
You know what? The day he got fired by Frank Beamer is the best day of his life. You know where he is now? The assistant head coach at Clemson, making $500,000 a year.
How about that, man?
Couldn't recruit at Virginia Tech. Dude could coach. So when Virginia Tech's offense got worse after the 2005 season, it just dropped off a cliff, is when they ran off all the guys that could coach and replaced them with guys who could recruit. Kevin Rogers left. Tony Ball left. Kevin Rogers, who coached in the NFL, and I've always heard that he said off the record that Danny Pierman was the best offensive coach on that staff, and we ran him off because he couldn't recruit. And guess what? Those guys finished outside the top 100 in total offense 3 years in a row after that. So be careful what you wish for when you want to get an ace recruiter. Right?
Lots of air
quotes. They got to be able to coach and develop talent at Virginia Tech. That's the number one thing.
Lots of air quotes being used by CC. That'll take us to a timeout here on the Tech Sideline Podcast. We'll step aside, and when we come back, we take a quick look at Miami, we get to predictions, and we'll get to your questions as well on Facebook. This is the Tech Sideline Podcast presented by the Fisher Law Firm.
If you have received a DUI or other traffic-related offense, the road ahead can seem uncertain. Here at Fisher Law Firm, we have a team that is with you every step of the way. We have the experience that comes along with having defended more than 30,000 criminal and traffic cases statewide and the expertise to get the job done. Call anytime, day or evening, for your free consultation or a complimentary copy of my book. Don't forget to ask us about our free appeal guarantee. To learn how we can help solve your problem, check us out at fisherlegal.com. This is Jonathan Fisher, class of 98. Let's go Hokies.
Welcome back to the Tech Sideline Podcast, presented each and every week by the Fisher Law Firm. We've got Malcolm Stewart behind the scenes producing, Will Stewart on set with Chris Coleman. I'm Evan Hughes. We did talk about Miami a little bit earlier in the podcast. The Hurricanes are 2-2 on the year. They're coming off of a bye week as they get set to take on the Hokies at 3:30 on Saturday. The identity of this team, clearly defense, with Manny Diaz, a defensive coordinator, now the head coach.
No question.
So many talented players returning on that defensive side of the ball. Guys like Shaq Quarterman, G. Hall, Michael Pinckney. Lots of talent on the defensive side.
Yeah, lots of talent, lots of experience. Lots of experience. I mean, you got senior backups. Trevon Hill's a backup. Trevon Hill was Virginia Tech's best defensive lineman, right? He's a backup for Miami. He's got two tackles for loss and one sack on the year.
Yeah, he's not racking up a lot of stats.
Right. He's a good player. Absolutely. It wouldn't shock me if they gave him a token start this week and let him play majority of the reps.
That guy's head might explode.
It might. Now, I do think Virginia Tech would be wise to, maybe try some misdirection stuff at him, because I think he's going to be fired up and challenge his discipline in this game.
Right.
See if you can't get a 15-yard penalty or see if he heads upfield on a draw play and then you run it right inside of him and things like that. I'm grasping at straws here. I'm trying to envision a way that Virginia Tech is going to score against Miami. And so I actually just can't picture it in my mind. I'm not saying they're going to get shut out. I'm not picking them to get shut out. They scored a touchdown against Duke when Duke blew a coverage. That's the only way Tech scored a touchdown against Duke. But it's hard to get shut out. I mean, Tech hasn't been shut out since 1995.
Correct, the Cincinnati game.
Right. I mean, they even scored in that.
And I believe that's the fourth or fifth longest streak in the country of having scored in games.
It is. Now, this is actually a candidate this week for the streak coming to an end.
So you remember, was it the 2014 Miami game where it was, I think, 31 to nothing? And Mark Leal.
It was 30 to nothing on our last drive of the game.
Yeah, Mark Leal threw a touchdown pass to, I believe, Isaiah Ford to keep that streak alive with something like a minute left to go in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, everybody knows about the Wake Forest game where they had to go to overtime and kick a field goal.
Yeah, that was fun times.
So
same season, 2014, right? Yeah. That was both in the same season. Yeah.
Golly, Ned.
That image of Coach Beamer with his hands in the air after the going to overtime.
Well, I remember writing my Monday column after that, and I just the heart of that column was, and here's where we are, a Hall of Fame coach who built this program is being mocked and ridiculed.
Yeah.
And that was 2014, and it went on for another year. He didn't get mocked and ridiculed the following year, you know, but if I remember correctly, that Wake Forest game was the one that really ramped up the conversation
The best thing about that picture is whenever we play Wake Forest in basketball, somebody always adjusts, because Virginia Tech always beats Wake Forest in basketball.
Right.
Because, you know, Wake is just really
so they'll put the basketball
coached.
Score.
So they'll put the basketball score up there, and Beamer's doing that. And it looks a lot better when it's Virginia Tech 91, Wake Forest 83. Just looks
by the way, man, we need to do us a basketball podcast at some point.
Yeah, because practice has started.
Yeah, and I don't know if Mike Young's going to be doing regular press conferences or what.
We don't know how that's going to work yet.
Yeah. And I wanted to get this podcast operation with the video and everything really ramped up and try to get Mike in here. I'll just put it out there. I would love to have Mike Young come in here and sit down. That's the whole point of. One of the whole points of doing all this video and this sort of setup is to not just sit around and the three of us talk, but get other people in here, you know, and get Whit Babcock in here and get Mike Young and guys like that.
I don't think Whit's going to come on this week.
No. But, you know, I've interviewed Whit before. Whit knows he can trust us.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean we want to ask him the hard questions, but, you know, we're not going to
come in here and grill him.
Yeah, that's right.
Quickly, wrapping things up before we get to the questions, we talked about Miami's quarterback and Jaren Williams, you know, a guy that was not projected to be the starter at the beginning of the year. A lot of people thought it was Tate Martell's job to lose, or maybe they'd go to Nikosi Perry, who's played before. 72% of his passes completed, 1,027 yards, 7 touchdowns, no picks. Seems like the kind of guy who knows the offense and runs it well.
Yeah, does a good job. I think he would probably do it well. I know he would be doing better if he had a good offensive line in front of him.
Yeah, I think it says something about their offensive coaching staff that they put in a position to produce those kinds of stats.
Dan Enos is their offensive coordinator, and he's regarded as being a very good coach.
Yeah.
So I think he's done a good job. I wish Virginia Tech had a natural pass rusher on the defensive line, particularly at right end. If anybody gets a sack from the right end position, I think you would think it would probably be Griffin because he's the best athlete there. So I might would play him a lot this year because the Tech right end will be matching up against that true freshman left tackle for Miami, who, by the way, was like a middle-of-the-road 3-star recruit. It's not like he was a big 5-star recruit or something. So they're literally throwing a guy in there who has no business playing. So it's shocking to me that Miami can't find anybody else to play left tackle. That just doesn't make any sense.
Did you look it up on PFF and he's grading poorly and that's why you say that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, okay. And then watch him in that first game.
That's
against
right.
Florida.
We weren't over that.
I mean, I haven't seen him since. I'll admit that.
I don't know, but
the offensive line as a whole, they've allowed 18 sacks.
That's a lot.
Miami's averaging against non-FCS teams. I think they're averaging like 2.9 yards per carry or something like that. I think that's a number I put in my game preview.
I would again send Chamari Connor off the edge and try to get those offensive tackles and get
after these guys and try to force some turnovers, because to me that's your only chance to win the football games if you turn them over on a short field, and you know give the offense a chance on a short field. I don't think you can sit back. Gosh, it was a play you put in your Monday thoughts, and you put it in there for one reason. I'm bringing it up for another reason. It was a 2nd and 15, and Virginia Tech had 4 down linemen. They dropped a defensive end back into coverage, so it was just 3 down linemen. The defensive backs dropped all the way back. I guess they were pretty sure they were in. I guess they were in man coverage, and it was just so much room for the quarterback to run on 2nd and 15.
Quentin Harris bailed out of the pocket and picked up 13 yards, making it a 3.
There was nobody there because there were only 3 guys rushing and everybody else was downfield in coverage. It's just too easy for a guy who can run.
And somewhere Thad Lewis is going, hey, where was that when I was quarterbacking?
Right, exactly.
There was a year where Virginia Tech almost killed Thad Lewis because they were just coming after him.
You need to go down to Miami and get after these guys. Put pressure on those freshman linemen and that freshman quarterback. Make them make quick decisions. And you're not going to do that by when it's second and 15 by dropping eight guys back in coverage. Because that guy's, if he's smart, he's just going to scramble for a first down or decent yardage. So I want to see. I'm not expecting anything out of this game.
Right.
Absolutely nothing. What I expect is, the only thing I expect really is I want us to be more aggressive defensively, and I want us to not mentally tank it.
Yeah. Hang in there.
Just hang in there.
So if you're aggressive on defense and you wind up giving up a big play, well, then come right back and keep doing it. You know, don't go in the tank.
Don't go in the tank. I mean, look, this is a game that – the line opened at 8.5. Within 5 minutes, it jumped to Miami 11.5.
Yeah, it went to 13 later.
I don't know. It's probably still too low.
I don't know why it opened at 8.5. That's easy money.
That's silly.
but Vegas hasn't caught up yet.
Gosh, they're crazy. But just keep attacking. Just keep attacking, because if you get beat deep, if you give up a touchdown because of your aggressiveness, that's fine. Look, you're probably going to lose a football game, but at least give yourself a chance to go down there and create some havoc and force some turnovers.
And players respond to that sort of stuff anyway.
You're not going to win a game when you're on your heels, right? You got to put your front foot forward. You got to put them on their heels, so to speak. Yeah. So go down there and try to put their offense on its heels. That's your only chance to win the football game.
All right, well, you kind of got to where we're heading now, what you're expecting for this game. We'll close with this before we get to questions, predictions for this game with a score.
Throwing it to me first. Okay.
Lead us off, CC.
All right. I think I picked it 31-10, Miami.
I was going to pick 31-7. We do this all the time.
You guys are so – I know. It's
We both picked Duke to, Virginia Tech to score 17 against Duke. Even though you picked Tech to win and I picked him to lose, we both – no, wait a second.
I went higher than 17.
No, we both – well, we both picked Duke. No, I was wrong. I was wrong.
Yeah.
You picked Duke to score 20. I picked him to score 17. So even when we were differed with our opinions, we're pretty close as far as
in some ways, yeah.
In some ways, yeah. I think Tech's defense will play better. I think Miami's offense is obviously more talented than Duke's, but they don't have nearly the experience. So I think Tech's defense, if they come out aggressive and they keep their minds right, they'll play a good football game. I don't think they're going to get put in good position by the offense. I think they're going to be on the field a lot. So will they mentally break or will they not? I'm inclined to think they'll do a better job of that this week. I just think they will. But I don't see how Tech's going to be able to score unless they get a lot of short fields and Miami turns it over a whole lot. I can't see how anybody could possibly pick Virginia Tech in this game. I can't even – unless Miami screws it up, I can't see how it would even be close.
Usually we can see a path to victory, and I don't really see one here.
See one,
you know, it's a number 13 defense in the country playing at home at their place. It's not a true night game. It starts at 3:30. It's not even going to be dark by the time this game ends. That 2017 game we were referencing was a night game. But a score somewhere along the lines of that. Now, if this thing snowballs and becomes a 40 or 50 point outing for Miami, that's a really bad thing, because I think Tech's defense, if it stays in the game, is good enough to keep this thing close and manageable.
Yeah.
But if they – I think what I'm trying to say is if what we saw against Duke happens down at Miami, it's going to be worse than 45-10. Although it's hard to imagine. Hard to imagine it being worse than 45.
Yeah,
what's worse than 45 to 10?
I'm not sure Miami's offense is good enough to be worse – to make it worse than that. Tech has to be good on special teams. This game late in the third quarter last year was 24-14 Miami. Tech was hanging in there. They were playing pretty well defensively. They actually led that game 14-10 at one point.
Then they coughed up some special teams plays, right?
Jeff Thomas returned a punt for a touchdown to make it 31-14 with about 5 minutes left in the third quarter, and that was it. Jeff Thomas is still their return man.
Yeah.
He's a legit 4.3 40 guy, really fast. So look for him on offense as their kick returner and their punt returner. Can't give up a big play on special teams to him. If you do, that's just tossing them 7 free points, and Virginia Tech cannot afford to give anybody free points.
Yeah.
So did you have the same score prediction as Chris?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I'll when we do something our game preview like later today, I'll put a number on
a
it.
A tease to go to like TechSideline.com later in the day. There correct. You go.
Yes, let's come to TechSideline.com to see how many points Will Stewart thinks we're going to lose. Yeah. That's an incentive.
That's a draw.
Let's turn it over to Malcolm Stewart, our producer behind the scenes. Malcolm, how's it going, and what's going on Facebook today?
It's going well. Don Mason actually asked about something I already wanted y'all's opinion on. Have you seen the College Game Day crew video about Virginia Tech? Yeah.
So that has been removed from Twitter.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's been deleted. It was Hokie Fillmore, I think, who tweeted it out. I'm not even sure where he got it. I think it was off of Chris Fowler's Instagram or something like that. All right. It is Fowler and Herb Street and the Bear on a plane.
Had to be.
You know, wow, how do I put this? Herb Street at least looked like he'd had a few. And not egregiously so, but he wasn't his normal Herbie self. So Fowler starts out by saying, you know, what is going on down in Blacksburg? And he turns the camera on Herb Street, and Herb Street gets these really big eyes and says quietly, "It's bad. Oh, it's bad." You know, and then they talk about Virginia Tech getting smoked 45-10. So what was the actual question, Malcolm?
Just how bad of a look was it? What did you think?
Oh, that was a bad.
It was a bad look. I mean,
but it was spoken. These guys have an affection for Virginia Tech.
They do, it was them saying, "Hang in there, Tech fans."
Yeah,
you know. I mean, it was 24 months ago when they were in Blacksburg for game day
for Clemson.
Clemson,
right?
Just 24 months ago. It was just 12 months ago where they probably would have been in Blacksburg for game day if Tech had beaten Old Dominion.
Right.
They would have been there
for the Notre Dame game. It would have been two top 10 teams. I can imagine that 12 months ago.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just you're throwing fuel on the fire at that point. But what's that Dierks Bentley song, "Drunk on a Plane"? That's sort of what I thought when I first saw the video.
Yeah, when I saw Herb Street, I was like, okay. You work hard, you deserve a good time on the plane on the way home.
Oh my gosh. What else, Malcolm? What else we got? That was a great question.
Quick shout out to Dave DeSerbo. He found it. It's still on Twitter somewhere.
Oh, okay.
So he linked it in the Facebook chat.
Okay, great. So he linked it in the Facebook chat, and I guess, you know, if you want to, I think he could put it on Instagram or something.
It's on
Twitter.
Oh, he will.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Yeah. It'll be available, and you can find it. We'll put it that way.
Do you think we'll see a more balanced offense this weekend?
No. If they play hooker,
I mean, they're going to try to run the football. They probably shouldn't with his injured shoulder, but they probably shouldn't try to throw it either because I don't think he's
so
that
what are
kind
you gonna
of.
Do?
Yeah, there's nothing you can do at this point.
Right.
Stop thinking about this year. I mean, it's just there's not a button you can push that's going to turn this season around. I don't think.
And so, I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about this, but I do want to counsel Tech fans. You're not used to looking at this. I get it. It's been a long time since Virginia Tech was getting pounded like this, and it looked like a 3-9 or 4-8 season. You know, these things happen. This season's not good. Who knows what's going to happen? Just as silly as this sounds, relax, okay?
Yeah.
Nothing. There is no quick fix for this. There is no magic wand. When Fuente did the press conference the other day, the reporter started asking him, "You're going to change up this, change up that," and his answer was basically no. You could. There's no quick fixes here,
right,
guys.
Right, and that doesn't mean he's not going to change anything at the end of the season. Because Frank Beamer went to the very last interview of the 2012 season saying, "No changes, no changes, no changes," and then boom, fired everybody.
And then he cleaned
up. You're not going to say that in the middle of the season because you don't want your current coaches to quit coaching. Okay, so he's not going to say anything about the future right now during the middle of the season. So don't expect him to do that because he wants the guys he has right now to stay engaged.
So slow your roll. Right. Take it easy on the coach and the players as easy as you can. I know this is emotional stuff if you have a lot of time and money invested in the program. But take the long view, okay?
Right.
All right. Welcome
to how 95% of college football has lived. So, I mean, Tech has been to a bowl 25 years in a row, something like that.
26.
You know, I mean, even your really good programs out there, Like Michigan State went 3-9 1 year.
It happens.
It was right after they made the college football playoff, I believe.
Yeah, the year after that.
They lost Connor Cook. They lost a bunch of their players.
So they go from the playoffs to 3-9.
Yeah. So
I mean, there's more. College football is more volatile these days. It's harder to be consistent because everybody knows who the best recruits are for the most part. So it becomes much more of a crapshoot with all these summer camps and everything like that. You know, your top 100 guys, you're not going to find too many James Andersons at the two-star status anymore. That's how the program was built. So it's a lot harder to be consistent unless you can recruit top 100 players consistently, which I don't think Virginia Tech can do. So
only a few programs can.
Only a very few programs can. So that's why every other program in the country these days, except for Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, is pretty inconsistent.
So we're doing, if you've been on the website, you've seen us promo this. We're doing a big tailgate up at Notre Dame with an outfit called Tailgate the Bend.
Right.
So if you want to find out more about it, Google Tailgate the Bend Tech Sideline.
Notre Dame's another example, man. That year, Virginia Tech won in South Bend 2016.
They were bad.
Notre Dame went 5-7.
Well, I thought it was 4-8.
Maybe it was 4-8.
But they were not a good football
team. You were right. I think they were 4-8. Guess what? Like 2 years later, they were in the playoffs.
So we're promoting this tailgate, and we're working with the guys at Tailgate the Bend, and so we got in this email conversation yesterday, and we've sold like, I don't know, 120, 130 tickets, and that's
fantastic.
It. And they usually get massive crowds for these tailgates that they do for visiting teams, like 750, 1,000 people. So I told him, I said, sorry, it's not going better, but Tech fans are in a big funk right now, you know, and I said, if they keep playing like this, you'll see it when Tech comes up there. They're just not a good football team right now. And he said, oh, I get it. That was Notre Dame in the entire 2000s, cycling through coaches and pointing fingers. You know, so this is college football. This is what it means to be a fan. This is your program. You've always been here. You'll be here afterwards. You know, the fans are the one constant in all of this, you know, so it's not fun when this sort of thing happens, but, you know, hang in there.
And I thought that was a great way you closed your Monday Thoughts article.
It was what you just said right there.
And
I don't want to get preachy, and I'm not wagging my finger. I'm just saying, you've never been through this before. I get it. Most of you, the last time Virginia Tech fired a coach because the team was bad was 1977.
I wasn't alive.
Right.
Wasn't alive.
I was
75% of our room right now wasn't alive. You were in high school, right?
I was 13, so I was in middle school.
Yeah.
Anyway, next thing, Malcolm.
What are the chances we lose Powell to PSU now that they've offered? I would guess pretty high.
Oh, I think
– So that's Tyreen Powell.
I think anything from a recruiting standpoint is fluid right now. So, I mean, I certainly think it's possible. I mean, he doesn't know who his defensive coordinator is going to be at Virginia Tech.
What position does he play?
He's either safety, linebacker, maybe whip. Right. One of those spots. He's a versatile guy. Good player. I think he was the one who was in a car wreck last year and kind of missed a lot of his junior year, and so he didn't get evaluated a lot. I think anything could happen with defensive recruiting. Now it's technically true that you don't know who your defensive coordinator is going to be at any school you go to, right? Because you never know when a guy could leave. But they know Bud Foster's leaving, right? And that hire's not getting made till December.
The vultures are circling.
Right.
Penn State's very good at the vulture routine.
They've been circling this class forever.
Yeah.
I mean, we have straight up heard from someone who has been in a Penn State staff meeting that Franklin is like, all right, now make sure when we're recruiting against Virginia Tech, you point out that Bud Foster's contract is expiring and you don't know who their defensive coordinator is going to be. And that was before he announced his retirement. Tech has been having to deal with this for months and months and months.
So you ask us, what are the chances? We don't know. We just know that Penn State's really good at that recruiting part of the
game. Right. And they've got a lot of ammunition right now. And Justin Fuente has no ammunition to fire back with. When a recruit comes to him and says, Penn State says, you don't know who the defensive coordinator is going to be. What's he supposed to say? Because he doesn't.
And he's not going to – if he does, he's not going to tell a recruit.
Right, exactly. And you can't hire anybody at this point anyway. So it's just – it's a bad situation, and there's nothing anybody can do about it until the season ends. We're just in a giant holding pattern – until that comes up. And I know people are going to try to come up with off-the-wall solutions and say they should do that, they should do this. No, there's nothing they can do.
Yeah.
Literally.
You just got to let things play out. Yeah. So we're up to about an hour, right?
Yep.
You want to do one more?
Yeah. We have one more, Malcolm?
Yeah. What's your over-under on Trayvon's sack total for Saturday?
I think over-under's 1.5.
Is it? There's actually a line.
Well,
that's
me off the top of my head.
Oh, yeah, I would agree with that.
He's probably going to have one. So what you're really asking is he going to have two or more?
Two, right?
So 1.5. Yeah. That's
two,
the over.
2.5 is too high for any player these days.
Right.
Yeah, 1.5 is about right.
Yeah. So that's your over under. I'm not going to pick one of them.
I'm not going to pick one.
But that's your over under.
Thanks to everybody as always on Facebook for providing some great feedback and some great comments. Always enjoy getting to those at the end of the podcast. And as we always do,
we actually need to dedicate like almost an entire podcast to just questions.
Just questions. Absolutely.
Talk for about 15 minutes, let some questions spool up, and then have at it.
Always the toughest question on the podcast. CC, what's coming up on Tech Sideline this week?
Brandon Patterson sent an article. I'll be posting that later today. Our game preview will be up later today. Have our usual true freshman report tomorrow, and then a Friday Q&A, and there'll be some various other things thrown in there. Lots of stuff.
The usual
I've got to get
awesome
everything
stuff
done tomorrow in time for the playoff game, which starts at 5.
Yeah, good luck to your Braves.
Yeah, appreciate it.
We're wishing you luck. Yeah.
So we need to start doing some wrestling coverage, and we need to start doing some basketball coverage. That's not going to happen this week, but those are the next areas we're going to be moving
into. That's on the horizon for sure, latter part of October.
Yeah, Virginia Tech still hasn't announced when Basketball Media Day is going to be yet.
So we'll have a better idea of basketball coverage
when that happens.
Fantastic. Well, gentlemen, as always, appreciate your time. Great times, and we'll look forward to doing it again on Monday.
All right. Thanks.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Tech Sideline Podcast. Hokies and Hurricanes, 3:30 kick in South Florida. Enjoy the game, and we will talk about the game on Monday, right back here Monday morning on the Tech Sideline Podcast. For our producer, Malcolm Stewart, our managing editor, Chris Coleman, our founder, head honcho, Will Stewart, I'm Evan Hughes, podcast host, saying so long. This has been the Tech Sideline Podcast, presented by the Fisher Law Firm.